The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, scribes. This week's episode of The Writer Files is brought to you by New Media Dojo. Thinking about starting a podcast or just want to up your sound quality? Make a sound impression with New Media Dojo and inquire today about all of your podcast production needs. Just head over to newmediadojo.com to talk podcast. That's newmediadojo.com.
One of the things that's really important to me personally is that I think friendship is like really a primary social structure in my own life, you know? And I feel like sometimes friendship gets the short end of the stick because we focus so much on romantic connection as the primary structure. When for me, you know, I've had so many amazing, beautiful friendships that have sustained me and taught me kind of like just how to be a person. And I think I wanted to capture a little bit of that between Fiona and Jane.
Welcome back to The Writer Files. This is your humble host, Kelton Reed, wishing you pages, patience, and perseverance, per usual. Critically acclaimed debut author Jean Chan Ho spoke to me about the art of nonlinear storytelling, the shifting POVs in her novel Fiona and Jane, and the value of a strong writing community. Jean was born in Taiwan and grew up in Southern California. She's a doctoral candidate in creative writing and literature at the University of Southern California and has an MFA from UNLV. Her much-anticipated debut novel is a collection of linked stories titled Fiona and Jane. Booklist called it Tender and Timeless, a book that explores the intimate facets of female friendship, Asian American immigrant experiences in Los Angeles and New York, and the debilitating power of family traumas. Bestselling author Alexander Chi wrote, Fiona and Jane is a high-wire act, and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Viet Thanh Nguyen called it a knockout of a book. Jean's writing has also been published in the Georgia Review, GQ, Harper's Bazaar, Guernica, The Rumpus, Apogee, McSweeney's Internet Tendency, and others. In this file, Jean and I discussed why writers shouldn't pick up their phones until noon, the rigors and routines of editing, how going to happy hour and talking about writing counts as writing, the loneliness of being a writer, deadlines, accountability, the importance of writing groups, and a lot more. Stay calm and write on. And don't forget, you can always support this show by heading to writerfiles.fm, where you can also sign up for email updates, get links to merch, and other resources for writers. I'm cooking up some new collaborations and sponsors for the show in 2022, so stay tuned. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click follow to automatically see new interviews in your podcatcher as soon as they're published, and drop us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to help other writers find us. All right, we are rolling once again on The Writer Files. I am honored today to be joined by author Jean Chan Ho. How are you surviving these days?
I'm hanging in there, Kelton. How are you?
Also hanging in there. As so many of us are just kind of trying to figure out what on earth is happening.
Yeah, it feels like we've been hanging in there for quite a while now.
It's like that cat in the poster in the dentist office. You know, it just never, it never comes down. Yeah, hey, congratulations on your lauded debut. How are you feeling going into the birth of your baby?
Thanks so much. It's really exciting. You know, I got the finished copy of the book a couple weeks ago. I showed it to my mom and she really liked it. So I don't know. It feels exciting and also a little bit surreal, you know, to actually be here.
Yeah. But you're no stranger to the writing life. And of course, gosh, this book has gotten so many incredible blurbs. You must be feeling pretty confident. And of course, we kind of want to do the, as we do with so many authors, kind of the Cliff's Notes of your superhero origin story. But yeah, talk about your kind of your academic career and, you know, all of the writing that you've done previously kind of leading up that has led up to this. Because this isn't really technically like your first rodeo.
Well, okay. Let's see. I got my MFA at UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. And, you know, the seeds of this book started out in my MFA thesis. So, you know, probably one or two stories that ended up in a totally different form in Fiona and Jane started out as, you know, first drafts or second drafts in my MFA thesis. And, you know, after I graduated, I did some freelance writing and I applied for PhD programs, not really quite sure of what exactly a PhD entailed. I was just sort of wanting more time to write and, you know, health insurance, of course. So, you know, I applied for PhD programs and one day in January of 2015, I got an unknown call on my cell, picked it up. Turns out it was Amy Bender, who's on the faculty at USC, inviting me to, you know, come be a part of the PhD program in creative writing and literature. Wow. And, you know, my soul sort of floated out of my body at that point. yeah. And so I started the program in the fall of 2015 and I'm still in it. I was supposed to graduate actually in 2021. But you know, this little pandemic thing happened. So, I couldn't, you know, access the library to do my dissertation research. And thankfully my program, gave me another year to finish up. So I'll be getting out of here finally in the spring of this year.
Yeah. I mean, it must feel kind of surreal to have your debut, picked up by so many and some of these blurbs are pretty incredible. Your peers have kind of come out of the woodwork to say some really nice things. I mean, this quote by Viet Thanh Nguyen, just a knock out of a book. How do you feel about some of these blurbs?
Okay, can I just tell you, like, you know, we asked for these blurbs probably back in summer of last year, probably in like July, and then you know, we asked the writers to come back with their blurbs, you know, like in 2 months. And of course, I won't name any names, but some people didn't make the deadline and we had to, but like my editor, you know, obviously she's a pro, so she built this into the process. But the first blurb that we got back was from Layla Lalami. And she's such a hero of mine. She's just so kind and so smart. And when I got the email that she has sent in her blurb and I read it, I just burst into tears. I was just so moved, you know. You know, it's really scary to show your writing to somebody you admire, you know. And, you know, of course, I publish stories here and there, but this is like my whole book. And to have, you know, somebody read it with such compassion and write something so generous was really, truly moving. And so, you know, as the blurbs came in, I think I probably cried every single time. I'm kind of a sensitive person. I like to cry, I have to say. So, yeah, but I'm really thankful to all of the people who wrote such amazing blurbs for me. It's such an honor.
Yeah. And Layla said specifically, this book is a treasure, and that's got to be Pretty high compliment coming from a hero of yours. But Fiona and Jane has just been, you know, picked up by so many outlets and named most anticipated book of 2022. And here we are in 20. I can't even believe it's 2022.
I know. Can you believe it? Like, what is time even after the last 2 years? I really can't remember what if stuff happened in 2021 or 2020. It just feels like one big blur.
Well, it must be exciting to be a January Indie Next pick and getting all of this great press. Congrats, Fiona and Jane. You know, it's been described as a glimpse into two women's lives as they deal with sexuality, class difference, immigrant family secrets, mental health, Asian American identity, and a lot more. And that doesn't really sum it up. But talk a little bit about the structure of the book and this kind of really compelling nonlinear storytelling that you've undertaken, and you know, maybe talk a little bit about the difference that you're finding, you know, I don't know, just in that process in general to your creative process.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to write a book that explored Asian American women in sort of a mundane, everyday, ordinary way in their lives. And I wanted to do it through a long friendship. So the book is structured in 10 stories, and it's told in alternating points of view. You know, so half the stories are told from Fiona's point of view. Those stories are all in third person. And half the stories are written from Jane's point of view, and all those stories are in first person. So I really got to have a lot of fun playing with those two perspectives. And one of the things that's really important to me personally is that I think friendship is like really a primary structure, a primary social structure in my own life, you know? And I feel like sometimes friendship gets the short end of the stick because we focus so much on romantic connection as the primary structure. When for me, you know, I've had so many amazing, beautiful friendships that have sustained me and taught me kind of like just how to be a person. And I think I wanted to capture a little bit of that between Fiona and Jane. So using this sort of like alternating back and forth structure, you get to see each character grow up in her own life, but you also get a view of her best friend and how, you know, in a way, somebody that you're so close to and you love so much throughout a long friendship really defines you.
Absolutely. Well, it comes through the work. And it's definitely heartbreaking at times and hilarious at times. Talk a little bit about kind of your relationship with Los Angeles or even New York. I don't know. I think when I think of Los Angeles, because I had only lived there maybe 4 or 5 years, but I don't think of it as like in the same way that I do a place like New York City. Los Angeles is kind of, you know, it's this sprawling, almost centerless, you know, thing. And I have the memories of, exactly, as you mentioned, kind of the friendships that I had there and then the places that we spent time. So, you know, you're kind of playing with this idea of time also, but I don't know. Talk a little bit about your relationship with maybe those the places in the book.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Southern California. The other place that's important to this book is Taipei, and I was born there, and I came to the States when I was 8. So, and I still have lots of family in Taiwan. So, you know, LA is sort of my home base. And then New York, I lived there. So you said you lived in LA for, you know, 5-6 years.
Yeah. It made a huge impact on me, but it wasn't about, it wasn't about the place LA. It was like about the places within the, you know, like kind of the pockets.
Yeah. Cause I think you're right in that LA is so sprawled out. And there's so many different kinds of experiences that you can have. Even, you know, I've lived here forever and I feel like there's some days when I'm like, oh, I've never driven this freeway. Like, what is this? What is this new part of town that I've never, you know, seen? Whereas New York feels like it is like a little easier to ease into as a city. Just by walking around, you can really soak in so much energy and atmosphere. Mm.
Hey, I just want to take a quick break for my podcast recommendation for this week. Have you run out of interesting things to say to friends when you actually get to see them? Then take a listen to the Book Dreams podcast. Each week, co-host Julie Sternberg and Eve Yohalem use books to explore fascinating questions like, what happened when a Harvard professor staked her reputation on an alleged Gospel of Jesus's wife that turned out to be fake? How did debut author Tom Lin save the American Western by blowing it to bits? Are pigeons rats with wings or wonder birds? And what's the who, when, where, how, and especially why of books bound in human skin? Recent and upcoming Book Dreams highlights include conversations with Disha Filya, award-winning author of The Secret Lives of Church Ladies, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Catherine Schultz, and neuroscientist and dreams researcher Siddhartha Ribeiro. You can subscribe and listen to Book Dreams wherever you get your podcasts. Back to the show.
So I lived in New York in my 20s, but I could only last for 3 years there because I couldn't take the winters, you know, like as somebody who grew up on an island, you know, and then grew up in Southern California after that. Right. I was just so depressed every winter. So I had to leave after 3 years, but I had a great time and I feel like it had a great impact on me. And so, Fiona in the book moves to New York and she's tougher than me. So she lived there for a decade before moving back to LA and, rediscovering her friendship with Jane. But, you know, I love to visit New York these days. Mm. I think that, you know, it's very nostalgic for me. But part of the magic of visiting a place over time too is that I notice how much it's changed. Mm. Like, so for example, I used to live in the Lower East Side on Orchard Street, and there was this falafel place that we used to always go to because it was open 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And that spot has been now transformed into an Equinox.
Bummer.
So, you know, I don't know. Maybe not for people who like to intensely exercise. I mean, who knows? But I don't know. It's just interesting seeing those changes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I couldn't help but think of something, you know, just, you know, as you put it, you drive places that you haven't ever seen before in Los Angeles. Suddenly you're kind of, you take a wrong turn and you're like, oh, I've never seen this part of the city. But you do spend so much time driving. And then, mm-hmm. then there are the places within the places. You know, I just have memories of these great bars in Los Angeles. Like, I don't know, there's a place called Jones Drug that we used to go to. It kind of looked from, on the outside, it kind of looked like a pharmacy. But in the inside, it was like this punk rock kind of, a lot of black and white photos of like punk rock and roll. And it was lined with bottles of Jack Daniels, I think, along the walls or the ceiling or something. Anyway, a lot of good memories.
Yeah. Oh man. It's like the pandemic really took away the great joy of like going to a dive bar, you know, like even for me more than like dining out in a restaurant. Cause you know, like obviously I missed that too, but just like going to a bar, man, that was like what was really missing for me. Like, in the last couple of years, does that sound, maybe sound like a degenerate?
No. No, there's something deeply satisfying about spending time at a dive bar and not feeling self-conscious about it. And LA has plenty of those. Well, and New York does too, but of course, let's talk about your writing process. And so some of this came to be as you're crafting a thesis and then, you know, you're spending time in a PhD program. How do you, when you're getting down to it and getting pages, how are you finding time to get into flow state, to be, you know, cranking out words, or is it all kind of coming piecemeal to you?
I think that when I have a good Okay. I mean, I think it depends on where I am in the project. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm starting something new and I don't really know what it is yet or how it's going to end up, I can work on that sort of in bits and pieces and feel like, you know, like ideas can come in and I'm open to so many like different sparks or something. Right. Mm-hmm. But if I'm further along in a project, and I know that I do have to just get words done and finish telling the story to get to the next draft, or if I'm at the point where I'm editing, you know, a second draft, third draft, 50th draft, mm-hmm. Then I like to, you know, if I can get into a routine, you know, and what I do for me, I'm a writer in the morning. So I have my routine. A really important part of that is I don't look at my phone if I can help it. Until noon, you know, not until 11 if I can. So I spend the morning just, you know, writing in my journal, and then I move to the computer. And at the end of a session, I'll leave myself a little note on the bottom of the page so that the next day I'll know where I'm supposed to pick up and not have to like reread the whole document again. So, yeah, having a routine is really important, you know. And also, I'm not like too hard on myself. Like you hear people talking about how they write from like 10 to 6 or something insane like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody could write for more than like 3-4 hours max. Mm. For me, a good writing session honestly is like 35 minutes to an hour. And then I give myself a little treat, maybe go for a walk. And then maybe I'll do a second session if I feel like it. But if I can get like just sit my butt down and do 45 minutes to an hour, that's a pretty good day.
Yeah. Well, you've probably learned some great tricks from rubbing elbows with some of your literary peers over the years. But yeah, talk a little bit about kind of the influence and the importance of the writing community that you've established. Because I know between the MFA and the doctoral program, you know, not only are you learning from other great writers, but you're really kind of spending some intimate hours talking about writing.
It totally counts as writing, you know, like,
oh yeah.
If you go to a happy hour with your friend and you talk about your project, I think that counts as writing because, no, I'm serious.
That's awesome.
Like, well, I'm like at least half serious because, you know, just talking about the project with somebody who is smart and interesting, and whose opinion you respect, I think will unlock something for you in your writing process. Right. And so one of the things that I feel I've been really lucky to have happen is that I, through my MFA and through my PhD, I've met so many wonderful poets. So I'm a fiction writer. I don't write poetry at all. I love to read poetry, but because I've met people who work in verse, and there's so many things that you can do with poetry that you can't do with prose, that talking to how poets address their work has really opened up my eyes to what's possible, you know?
That's
and
cool.
I think even if I'm like, I'm never going to write a poem because I just respect the form too much. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like just having a conversation about breaking the rules of what form is, you know, opens up my eyes and allows me to not be so rigid.
Amazing. I like that a lot. Yeah, well, I know that you have limited time here and we do appreciate your wisdom. And yeah, before we kind of wrap up with your advice to fellow scribes, I will mention the book, of course, linked to Fiona and Jane, as well as your home base there, which is jeanchenho.com. You are on Twitter, you are on Instagram, anywhere else you want to connect with listeners out there?
I would say Twitter, Instagram is the best place. I'm going to have, I don't know when you're planning to air this, but I'm going to have a few virtual events throughout January to talk about the book that I'm really excited about. And if anybody is in LA, I am supposedly having a live event at Skylight on January 19th, which I suspect may be canceled by what's happening with the Omicron variant, because we want to be as safe as possible. But yeah, as far as I know for now, it's still an in-person event at Skylight. So that's where I'll be talking about the book, on the computer and in person.
Very cool. You can find that information on your website, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. It's all there. Mm-hmm. Under mm-hmm. events. And yeah, I just wanted to also say congrats on the success of the book. I thought, let's see, who summed it up nicely? This little blurb, the books to read in 2022, based on what you loved in 2021, if you enjoyed After Parties by Anthony, how do I pronounce that? Anthony Vyazneslav.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think that's
okay,
right.
Okay, we'll go with
I
that one.
So.
Yeah. Read Fiona and Jane by Jean Chen Ho. Ho's buzzy novel is a tender portrait of female friendship. It's about two Taiwanese American women, Fiona and Jane, longtime best friends whose relationship is strained when life scatters them to opposite coasts. The story spans decades as they grow together and apart, navigating love, death, complicated families, and heartbreak. And I am really enjoying the work. So one fun one before we wrap up with your advice, if you could have a dinner with any author from any era at your favorite spot in the world, who would you take and where would you take them?
Oh my God. That is such a hard question. I'm totally unprepared. I guess I have to go with the most obvious answer for me, which is James Baldwin. I just love his work so much. I think, you know, he writes poems, plays, essays, of course, and fiction. So he's just so wise, you know. Mm. And I feel like even when I read his work that was published, you know, decades ago, it's still completely apt for what's happening today. So I would pick him. I don't know where I would take him. Maybe he can take me somewhere because, you know, he's lived in France and Istanbul. So maybe I'll leave it to him.
Cool. Yeah. probably somewhere in France or Istanbul would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
His favorite spot. I love it. All right. Just your kind of any pearl of wisdom you have for your fellow scribes and just kind of how to persevere maybe through the tough times and the good.
I don't know if I have a pearl of wisdom, gosh. So no pearl of wisdom, but maybe just a reflection based on my own experience for writers and how to persevere. I think that writing is so lonely, you know, because honestly, so much of it happens in your brain, right? Like, and then you're just sitting there in front of your computer or writing it down in a notebook. That sometimes it feels like you're just talking to yourself and writing into a void. So I think it's helpful at some point to get a writing group or to find community and have accountability, right? Like you can have deadlines like once a month and you trade work and maybe you don't even give feedback on the work except to just hold your friends to the deadline and say, like, by this date, you're going to turn in, you know, 15 pages of your work. And then it forces you to really adhere to that. Yeah. So I think having a community, finding other writers really, really, really helps, because otherwise it's just really lonesome. It's going to be lonesome anyway, but you can be lonesome together.
There you go. Commiseration amongst mm-hmm. scribes. I love it. Jean, thank you so much. Congratulations. Please come back and rap with us in the future. And do stay safe out there.
You too. Thanks so much for having me. This is such a pleasure.
And scene. I think we got it. We did it under time. And I know that you got to keep going. So seriously, congrats on everything.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I really enjoyed this. You asked so many great questions.
Okay, cool. Yeah, at times I tend to ramble a little bit, but I hope I kept us on track.
I definitely rambled, so you'll have to edit me down too in post.
We'll make you sound smart.
Okay, please do.
All right, Jean.
Thank you.
All right, take care. We'll be in touch. Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of The Writer Files. And if you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review to help other writers out there find us. You can always leave a comment or a question and visit the entire archives at writerfiles.fm. And you can chat with me on Twitter at Kelton Reed. Cheers. Talk to you next week.